church, and this one's in our respect for all men. And I'm going to move this down. Seems like it's echoing. In our respect for all men. And we are taught in God's Word to respect all men. In fact, back in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32, he says, "You shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged." Okay? So we're to show respect for our elders, aren't we? And then he reminds us, "And you shall revere God. I am the Lord." And, you know, Jesus taught that when someone throws a wedding feast, he says we're to take the lowest position, not the position of honor. In other words, what is he teaching? Respect others. You know, if we want respect, then we need to show respect. And Romans 12:10 tells us to be devoted to one another and give preference to one another. Philippians 2:3 tells us to do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than themselves. So in other words, we need to respect all men, just as this class is about. Now, the passages of Scripture that I was given really deal more with respecting those in authority. And we'll look at them as well. But Christians, whether we are in a position of leadership, remember, wherever we're at, we are to clothe ourselves with humility, the Bible teaches. And we need to shed ourselves of all arrogance and pride and selfishness. All right? If we do that, we will respect others. I believe selfishness, pride, and arrogance are obstacles. And they stand in the way of showing respect to others. Well, Jesus said, any kingdom divided against itself is laid waste. And so where there is a kingdom, there has to be authority. And where there's authority, there's also, and a kingdom, there's also laws to govern the kingdom, to keep order, to keep peace, to keep harmony. And so if we go against the laws of the kingdom, then we become an enemy to that kingdom. We become a rebel. We become hostile. And in fact, by doing so, we are not only going against the laws, but against the king who ordained those laws. Now, Jesus teaches us that the church is a spiritual kingdom. And Jesus is the king. We are subject to him. He is the lawgiver. He said in John 12:48, "He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings, my law, has one who judges him. The word I spoke will judge him at the last day." And so if we disrespect God's laws, then we'll be judged by those very laws in the end. And we need to remember that God's authority is greater than man's. Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me." And by his authority, he has ordained authority in this earth and in the spiritual kingdom. Daniel's who lived under several different authorities, said he removes kings and establishes kings. They're in Daniel 2:20. And in Romans 13, which is one of the scriptures given as our text, verse 1, he says, "Every person is to be in subjection to governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And those which exist are established by God." So, whether we like our government or not, we need to remember that God's in control and God establishes government. And so, if it's established by God, ordained by God, to go against what ordained means we are actually going against him. It's like Gamaliel said to those who wanted to kill the apostles for preaching the word. He says, you know, if this is from God, better watch out, or you're going to be, you might find yourself fighting against God. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be fighting against God. Because that's a battle you will lose. And so God has given us His law. He's given us the Bible, His Word. And in Hebrews 11:14, one of the things He tells us to do is to pursue peace with all men. And if we're disrespectful, then we're not pursuing peace. And He says, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. And so it is a duty to show respect to all men. And Paul said, the will of God is our sanctification. And he reminds us that, you know, if we reject His preaching and teaching, we're not rejecting man, but we're rejecting God who gives the Holy Spirit. So I want to impress that upon us this morning, that God's Word is final. And we need to follow it completely in what it has to say. Now, Jesus teaches us to respect others. He says that Christians are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. In other words, we are here to influence the world and preserve it. And people are watching us. They're watching our actions. They watch how we treat others. And in Romans chapter 13, verse 7, He tells us to render to all what is due them. Tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. He says, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. And so we do have one debt to pay, and that is love one another. And He explains it further. He says that, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in the saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. It's the opposite of showing disrespect. And so we have an obligation to love our neighbor. Well, who's our neighbor? Well, everybody around us is our neighbor. In other words, leaders are obligated to respect members. Members are obligated to respect leaders. Leaders are obligated to respect other leaders, members other members. And we are all obligated to respect those who are not in the church. In other words, God doesn't want us looking down on anybody, thinking we're better than anybody else. That's why I believe Jesus told His apostles, don't call yourself leaders, don't call yourself rabbis. He says, he who exalts himself will be humbled. You know, that's the kind of attitude that we are to have. That attitude, clothe ourselves with humility. Romans chapter 12, verses 17 and 18. It says, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Okay, so again, we need to respect all men. Now, what is respect? Well, we can see in Romans chapter 13, he talks about being in subjection. And so respect is submission or subjection. It's also obedience. In Ephesians 6:1, children are to obey their parents. Respect them by obedience. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he addresses the leaders in the congregation and the workers in the congregation. In verse 12, he says, we request you, brethren, that you appreciate those who have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. And then he says, live in peace with one another. There's that idea of being at peace, respecting. And so respect has various meanings, but it means to feel or show deferential regard for, to esteem, to avoid violation of or interference with, such as respecting the law of the land, the speed limits. You know, I remember Wayne brought that out to us there in Longmont, but it's true that when we show disregard to the speed limits, we show disregard to authority. Whether we like them or not. I don't think the laws are always fair. There's places where speed limit's 45 and I think I can do 60 pretty safely. But the law is the law, isn't it? Who am I to write the law? Am I ordained by God to write the law? No, government is. And so we need to respect. It's a feeling of appreciative, often deferential regard. As we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, appreciating the leaders. It's a state of being regarded with honor, willingness to show consideration or appreciation. Okay, so that's what respect is. Now, there are some false ideas about what is respectful or disrespectful that some people have. For instance, that if I don't agree with someone, I'm being disrespectful. In other words, that sometimes we can get an attitude, especially people in leadership, that if somebody comes to me and they don't agree with me on something, well, they're just being disrespectful. Well, it's not necessarily. Now, it can be done in a disrespectful way, but if it's something other than the Word of God and they don't agree with me on it, it's disrespectful. They could approach me. They have every right to and disagree with me. I'm not a pope. I'm not infallible. Do you understand what I'm saying? But if it has to do with the Word of God, and I'm preaching the Word of God, and it has to do with that, the Bible says we must be agreed. And if they're fighting against that, fighting against truth, then they are disrespectful. I mean, wives are told to respect their husbands. They're in Ephesians chapter 5. Well, I don't know, husbands, men, do your wives always agree with you? Do they ever express their disapproval or disagreement? And do you tell them, well, you're being disrespectful because you don't agree with me? No, it's not disrespectful for them to have a disagreement. But it has to be done in the right way. I remember one time I was in a preacher's home. He was invited to go preach in another state. And, you know, he was saying, I don't know, I've got so many studies. And his wife came and says, are you stupid? Now, I would say that disagreement is disrespectful. And so, we're to be respectful. But we can disagree. Some people think it's disrespectful to rebuke a leader. Well, it can be if it's done in the wrong way, but I don't believe it's disrespectful to rebuke a leader. You know, if I'm in sin, I want somebody to rebuke me. But do it in the right way. Again, Jesus said, if your brother sins against you, go to them. And I know in a leadership position, leaders are not infallible. We sin. We say things we shouldn't say. We do things we shouldn't do. We try not to, but I'm going to admit to you, I fail. Yeah, and I have no problem. I don't get defensive when somebody, I remember even in Albany, I don't know if you remember this, Marco, one time, something with Joseph. I was letting Joseph do things that were totally wrong. And he approached me like, well, I didn't jump back with him with the, well, you're just being disrespectful. No. I appreciate him telling me that. It was something I didn't even realize. You know? I mean, Peter was in hypocrisy and Paul rebuked him and in the presence of others to his face. Who are you, Paul? I was given the keys. Just get out of here. You're disrespectful. No. I believe it saved us up. That's right. Timothy was told to rebuke sitting elders. But again, it has to be done in the proper way. Galatians 6:1 says, you who are spiritual, a spirit of gentleness. Again, in 2 Timothy 2:20 talks about that. With gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition. So you see, this thing of respect is more of an attitude, isn't it? And how we deal with others. And then there's a false assumption that we must obey all the laws. Or we're being disrespectful. I'm going to throw you off on this one a little bit because I don't believe we have to obey all the laws as long as they are in accordance with God's word. But if the government comes along and tells me that I am to do something that God says I'm not to do, I don't have to obey them, and I'm not being disrespectful. Again, I need to do it in the right way. You know, Peter said we must obey God rather than men. You know, in Canada, they have a law, you cannot speak against homos. And that's where our country is heading. That's what this thing is trying to legalize. Homosexual marriage is just the beginning. Because they're going to consider anything speaking against them as a hate crime. So that means you can't preach the Bible because the Bible preaches against homosexuality. And so if you do that, that's a hate crime and you are guilty. So what are you going to do if it gets to that point? You going to quit preaching? No, we must obey God rather than men. I'm not being disrespectful. I'm just doing what God says. But again, it must be done in the right way. In fact, when the apostles were arrested, they were told that they were to quit preaching in that name. And they said, well, we must obey God rather than men. And you know what they did? They went out and kept on preaching. But they weren't being disrespectful. Well, let's move on to reasons for or why people act with disrespect anyway toward authority. Okay, why are people disrespectful toward authority? Well, number one reason is just plain rebellion. Plain rebellion. In Numbers chapter 16 in the Old Testament, you are familiar with the story of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Numbers chapter 16. And Korah and these other guys, they rose up before Moses together with some of the sons of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation chosen in the assembly, men of renown. They assembled together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, you have gone far enough, for all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is there in their midst. So why do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord? Now Moses was the meekest man on earth. He didn't exalt himself. Who put him in that position? God did. And he had a job to do. And you know, God has established in the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. They are ordained. They are put in that position. But people who rebel sometimes come across with that attitude. You just think you have to control everything. Well, I realize some leaders might come across that way and might be that way, but leaders have a job. And we better watch who we oppose and show disrespect for. And who knows, God might open the earth. You might just fall and be swallowed up. Well, it's just plain old rebellion. And we need to get the rebellion out of our heart. You know, Sam, I was thinking of Saul. He rebelled against God. And Samuel told him that rebellion is as a sin of insubordination and iniquity as... And the insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry. But he rebuked him because of his disrespect for God's laws. And so if we have rebellion in our heart, you know, and there's the thing about rebellion. When we get rebellion in our hearts, you'll find that leaders can't do anything right. People who are in rebellion and at odds with God will be at odds with their brothers and sisters, and they'll be at odds with leadership. And it doesn't matter what they do, they can't do anything right. You know, that's the way it was with Jesus. He couldn't do anything right. He performed miracles, did everything. And they were still trying to pick him apart. It's because of rebellion. Yeah, it reminds me of our media with our president. You know, our liberal media. I get sick and tired of them. He can't do anything right. Well, I'm not saying he does everything right. But he is a president. And I think he's done a lot of things right. You know, it's kind of like this illustration that I heard. That one day the president was out fishing with the Pope. And they were on a lake fishing, and the Pope's hat blew off. Gust of wind blew it off, landed in the water. And President Bush said, "Oh, let me get it for you." And he walked on the water, brought his hat back to him, said, "Here it is." And the next day the media said, "The president can't swim." You know, they didn't have anything good to say about him. But that's the way it is with some people. That you can't do anything right. That's just rebellion. But here's something that you probably find yourself... Well, let me back up on that just a little bit. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. He says, "Especially those who indulge the flesh in its corrupt desires and despise authority." There are people who just hate any kind of authority, question authority. "Daring, self-willed, they do not even tremble when they revile angelic majesties." And he says they're like unreasoning animals, creatures that will be destroyed. Some people despise authority. Yeah, you know, when we first went to Longmont, there were some people there who just didn't like me. And I didn't feel very appreciated. You know? And I remember, there was just this one group. They were all kind of connected together. And I remember, every time I preached sermons, one guy would give me these mad, angry looks, like he hated my guts. You know? And his sister-in-law, or whatever, was always back there, just shaking her head, making faces at me and everything. You know? And I didn't feel very appreciated. Well, finally they left, and it's been happier ever since. You know, I feel really appreciated now. We've got a good group of people, and we work together. Really, that's what it's about, isn't it? Working together. Amen. You know, I'm not one that's trying to think I have to be the top dog. We work together to God's glory. I respect the people in our congregation, and they respect me. But here's something that's hard to deal with, and where we tend to show disrespect, when we think, well, they are not worthy of it. It seems justifiable, but it's still wrong. You know, if you were back in Eli's, remember Eli wouldn't rebuke his sons. They were immoral. They were treating sacrifices wrong, and so forth. They were in a position of leadership. Somebody like that would be hard to respect. I found it hard to respect our last president, who was using the White House for his sexual affairs and full of scandals. He was a liar and everything else. What did you find it hard to respect him? There are sometimes preachers who are not worthy of respect. I've seen preachers who are dishonest, liars. I've seen preachers who are lazy, who don't get out and work. I've seen preachers who use the church for their own fleshly indulgences, and then afterwards they go and complain to the church, "Well, I need more money." When they're out there blowing it and not doing the work, well, it's hard to respect some people. And it all seems justifiable not to respect them. But yeah, I was just thinking of what Jesus told his disciples concerning the Pharisees, the leaders. He says the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. He says, "Therefore, all that they tell you to do, do and observe, but don't do according to their deeds, for they say things and do not do them." He instructed them still, you know, if they're telling you the right thing to do, just do it. But don't be like them. Yeah, I think it'd be hard to be under Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them. And he puts people out. Or under, if you were under, yeah, the Judaizers in there. I mean, there's some situations it's hard to respect. the so-called leaders. But again, it's our attitude. Respect is our attitude, how we deal with them. Second Peter chapter 2. That's not the one I want. Now maybe I'll find it later. Well, let's go ahead and move on because my time's running out. Sometimes, too, people can be disrespectful when they just get used to you. You know, Jesus said a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown. All right? Well, you know, his brothers weren't very respectful of him. In fact, they tried to get him killed one time, didn't they? You know, sometimes you get used to the preacher and you just think of him as just another person rather than you forget about his position. But there's a lot of reasons why people show disrespect. There's causes for disrespect. Disrespect is learned in various ways. That's one thing I hate about the television, because Hollywood, I believe, teaches people to disrespect authority. I believe a lot of the music today teaches disrespect. You listen to rock and roll music. You know, parents, you need to keep an ear on what your kids are listening to. I've seen so-called church-raised up Christian kids listening to rebellious rock and roll music. That just speaks against authority and despises authority. And so they learn it that way. Video games, all the violence on video games. Again, it's teaching people to disrespect authority. But really, I think one of the biggest problems where people really learn disrespect for authority is from their parents. You know, no doubt, I like what Brother Wayne brought out about Cain and Abel, but really, I think Cain learned disrespect from his parents. Well, after all, they didn't respect God's law when they violated it. I remember one time my mom used to work in the hospital, in a particular church we were in. One of the ladies broke her leg skiing or something, and my mom was her nurse. And my mom walked in on the whole family there, and they were laughing and giggling how they just got rid of the preacher, you know. Well, what are they teaching their kids? When we oppose authority, what are we teaching our kids? And you know, they'll just carry it a little farther. The Bible says bad company corrupts good morals. Hang around with the wrong people. Yeah, that's one of the things my parents told me when I was taught to respect people. And in high school, I ran around with the wrong people. And my parents always used to tell me, don't hang around with that guy. He's a bad influence. And we hung around with him. And I found myself developing those same attitudes of disrespect that he had. And sometimes people could learn disrespect from leaders in the church. You know, leaders need to uphold each other, don't they? And, you know, I'm going to tell you something. I was just as wrong as the preacher and the other person with me. But when I was a new Christian, we were out deer hunting. I was archery hunting. It was the first time. I've never gotten a deer archery hunting. And the preacher and the other person wanted me to get a deer real bad, just as bad as I did. And we tried, and I'm a bad shot when it comes to archery hunters. That's why they call archery hunters vegetarians. But anyway, it was getting late. And so we're riding along the road, and they had me sit on the hood of the vehicle. And it was dark out, so they pulled out the spotlight. And so we're driving along, I'm on the hood of the vehicle, and we're trying to get my deer, and finally we saw one, and I finally got one. Yeah. It was real good, except the only problem is we violated the law.
Three times.
Yeah. And I thought about it later. What if a game warden would have come? I don't think any one of us would have felt the urge to invite him to church. Or what if he would have came into that preacher's congregation to hear him preach? Say, aren't you the one? But yet I've seen the same preacher, I watch his kids, and they have the same attitude of disrespect for the laws of the land. And this same person used to cut down other preachers. You know, I don't even believe we should cut down other preachers' convictions. If somebody holds a conviction that's stronger than ours, we need to respect it. Paul says, I become all things to all men, that they might be saved. Paul respected people if they just ate vegetables. He respected people no matter what they believed, as long as it wasn't in violation of God's word. He wasn't there cutting others down. And I've heard that even from leaders. You see, as leaders, we need to respect other leaders, and we need to respect what is right in the sight of all men. Well, don't you agree with me? Am I wrong? But we need to uphold leaders and realize that leaders will have faults. Let's don't be picking them apart, you know, unless you think you can do better. We need to uphold them. We need to appreciate them, encourage them, because there are too many of them that have given up because they have been picked apart. If you have something against a leader, go to them. Don't be going to other people. Well, Jesus said in conclusion, however you want people to treat you, treat them. And Paul says we have regard for what is honorable, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. You know, it's teamwork, people. We need to work together. We need to respect those who are teachers and preachers. Uphold them. Be merciful and forgiving when you see them fail. And like I said, it's not wrong to approach them, bring it to their attention, but show respect. And likewise, leaders need to do the same for members and work together. Teamwork. You know, it has to be with us all together. Well, thank you very much.